Europe, Mexico, Africa, United States, Canada, New Zealand. These all have something in common, and they are all locations for this year's Feast of Tabernacles. Now, this is going to be a very unusual feast, although we're not going to be able to travel to those areas. They are still having the feast there, as they always have, and we're having our feast here in many sites in the United States. And they all are keeping the feast. Now, don't turn there, but in the New Testament, the feast is commanded to be kept in John chapter 7, verse 37, Luke 2, chapter verses 41 through 43, Mark chapter 14, Matthew chapter 26, Luke chapter 22, John chapter 13, Acts chapter 12, Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 18, Acts 27, 1 Corinthians 5. All of these mention the holy days, all of them. So, question, how should we observe the holy days? What is the Church of God? Why does the Church of God observe them the way that we do? I think this is a good question to ask today. So today we're going to look at how ancient Judah observed one of these feast days more than 2,400 years ago. And this will help us today to better understand how we should be keeping these days, including the Feast of Tabernacles and many, many other holy days. And as I mentioned, we're in the feast season, the fall season. We're right before the Day of Atonement and the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles, last great day, the Feast of Tabernacles. Many of us are getting ready to travel. It's a high point in our spiritual year. And so today we're going to look at the subject of how to observe God's feast. So first of all, let's go to Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8 is a very interesting chapter. The Jews had come back and had rebuilt the temple and the temple walls. They were in the process of doing this, and we're almost finished. And we're going to read in Nehemiah chapter 8, beginning to read in verse 3. And the land of Judah began to observe the feast of the various feasts. And notice what it says in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 3. Let's just go ahead and get an overview here. Then he read it from the open square that was in front of the water gate from the morning until midday before the men and women. He begins to read the book of the law. In verse 4, we're going to summarize this. There was a platform built. You know, we often go to feast sites and there's a stage or a lectern or an area that's lifted up or above the level of most people. And verse 5, they opened the book of the law. Verse 7, it talks about who was there to help the people understand the law. People stood in their place. In verse 8, they read from the law. And it talks about Nehemiah in verse 9. And it says, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law." And then it talks about eating and drinking. It talks about do not be grieved in verse 11. And it talks about sending portions. So this is actually occurring on one of the feast days. Now I want you to notice verse 10. This is one of the things that we're supposed to do at the feast. Verse 10, it's a command that most of us have no trouble keeping. Verse 10. Then he said to them, "Go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." So they were supposed to enjoy good food. One of the things we're commanded to do, not only here, but in many other scriptures, is to enjoy food. Some abundance, but also some quality food. We should be generous to those who have no portions. There's always going to be among us, what the Bible says, the poor. And so if there's someone at the feast who doesn't have a lot of money, this is a good time to invite them to eat, to enjoy meals with you, and to be generous with each other. So the first thing I want to focus in on is enjoying good food, enjoying the food. Now, they're called feast days for a reason, and it is what you think it is. That's not the only reason that they're called feast days. But it was a feast day because you were supposed to be happy and enjoy life. And so let's go to Deuteronomy 14. We'll be coming back to Nehemiah. Let's go to Deuteronomy 14. And let's look at what it says about keeping these days. Deuteronomy 14. Scripture we often read during the offering. But notice Deuteronomy 14, verse 22. You shall truly tithe of all the increase of your grain that the field produces year by year. And you shall eat before the Lord your God. Have you ever wondered, have you ever noticed how many times the Bible talks about eating? I mean, there's a marriage supper of the Lamb. There's various days that we're supposed to enjoy food. This is one of them. Verse 23, and you shall eat before the Lord your God. What if you said, I don't want to eat. I'm not going to eat. I'm going to fast those days. You would be going against the command of God. God commands you to eat before the Lord your God in the place where he chooses to make his name abide. You're going to eat from the tithe of your grain, the tithe of your new wine and of your oil. So you were supposed to set a little bit of that apart so you can enjoy it. And your new wine, your oil of the firstborn of your herd and of your flocks, that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always. And so here we're supposed to eat. Notice what it says in verse 24. But if the journey is too long for you so that you are not able to carry the tithe, you know, you're going to have a couple of sheep, a couple of heads of beef, maybe some chickens or whatever the tithe was of your livestock, and you're going to be traveling down the road, then you sell those. You turn them into money. Verse 24, but if the journey is too long for you so that you are not able to carry the tithe of the place where the Lord your God chooses to put his name, and I mentioned several of those in my introduction, is too far from you when the Lord your God has blessed you, then you shall exchange it, verse 25, for money. Take the money in your hand and go to the place which the Lord your God chooses. If we've been tithing faithfully, whether it's of produce or whatever, or of our income, we're going to have approximately 10% of our income to spend in approximately 8 or 9 days. And it's appropriate also to use that for other feast days. But here it says that we're supposed to turn that into money and travel with it. Verse 25, then you shall exchange it for money. Take the money in your hand, go to the place which the Lord your God chooses, and you shall spend that money for whatever your heart desires, for oxen, for sheep, for wine, similar drink, whatever your heart desires, you shall eat there before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice, you and your household. One of the best and most enjoyable things that humans do is having a meal together. You know, you invite someone to your house, you have a meal together, you fellowship, you have a glass of wine, a glass of beer, some adult beverages, and we're not talking about drunkenness here, but it is proper to drink wine and various other substances. And it says, you shall rejoice. This helps us to be in a good mood, to be happy. Notice verse 27, you shall not forsake the Levite. What's he say about the Levite? Well, the Levites, they didn't have any produce. And so you were supposed to not forget them when you rejoiced. You shall not forsake the Levite that is within your gates, for he has no part nor inheritance with you. And then verse 29, and the Levite, because he has no portion nor inheritance with you, and the stranger and the fatherless. So don't leave out those that are less fortunate. There are some people that maybe have lost their jobs, health reasons, various other reasons. And part of your responsibility is to make sure that they also have a good time. Some of the best times we ever had was having people to a meal that would not have been able to afford to eat a meal and fellowshipping with them. So the first thing that we need to do is understand, and this is a purely physical thing, but you know, the Sabbath is physical because you have to rest. You also are required to read your Bible and to study and to pray, but resting is a physical activity. So one of the things we do is we enjoy a good meal, enjoy good food. This is not the time to be on a diet. This is not the time to be fasting. In the Middle Ages, the great false church, in order to negate the Sabbath, commanded people to fast on the Sabbath, on Saturday. And they said, if we can get them to fast on Saturday, they're going to look on the Sabbath as something not pleasant. So the Catholic Church said, you know what? On Saturdays, if you're a good Catholic, you need to fast on those days. And you need to eat good food on Sunday. Well, they understood this principle. Principle being that good food makes you happy. Second point is found in Nehemiah chapter 8. I told you we were going to go back there. Nehemiah chapter 8. And let's look at Nehemiah chapter 8. And we're going to look at Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 9. And Nehemiah, who was a scribe, Ezra the priest, and the Levites, they said to the people, do not mourn nor weep. This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn nor weep, for all the people wept. It had been so long, brethren, since they had heard God's word, that some of them were emotional and began to cry. You know, we have Bibles in our computer. I have Bibles in my desk. I have Bibles on my nightstand. I have Bibles in my car. Back then, you didn't have the Bible, you know, scrolls. So to hear the word of God was a very moving experience. And they were, some of them were crying. And notice what they said. Do not mourn nor weep. Verse 10, then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those with whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to you. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites quieted all the people, saying, be still, for the day is holy. Do not be grieved. And all the people went their ways to eat and drink and to send portions and rejoiced greatly. You have a command, brethren, at the feast, and that is to rejoice. You are supposed to be happy at the feast. You're supposed to be joyful at the feast. You know, sometimes we can get on the woe is me wagon and we make ourselves depressed and we worry about things and we wonder about things and we just put our mind on things that are not conducive to being happy. Some people do that. Some people do that easily. Some people do that with a lot of difficulty. Whatever the reason, you're not supposed to be in a depressed, moody attitude at the feast. You're supposed to be happy. Dwell on happy things. Be joyful. You know, the sermons you've been getting during the year have been telling you how great your potential is and how much God loves you. We need to dwell on those things. So we are commanded to be joyful. Some of us, and I'm speaking to the church in general, some of us are more sour than others. And some of us are very gregarious. The point is, whatever your personality is, God expects you and wants you, and I hate to say this, but he commands you to be happy. And you should be. If you've been eating well, if you've got your tithe with you, if your family's with you, if you understand what God's plan is, there's no reason not to be happy. So God commands us to be happy. Some of the things that he commands us to be happy about, or we should be happy about, is the truth. We have the truth. God gives us of his spirit. You know, not everyone has God's Spirit. He gives us and tells us that we are his children. We have a relationship with him as our father and with Jesus as our elder brother. We have our sins forgiven. We are going to receive eternal life, salvation. We know his plan. We understand that God is bringing a new kingdom pictured by the Feast of Tabernacles. Man, all of those things should just make us so happy, brethren. And so we need to be that way. Let's go to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. And in verse 2. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the dwelling place, that's what tabernacle means, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And what's going to happen? God is going to wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor crying, nor sorrow. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Verse 5, he says, I make all things new. So one of the things that we should do and understand at the feast is we are commanded to be happy. We're commanded to be joyful. Make it a point in your life when you get up in the morning to get up in a good attitude, to get up in a joyful attitude. You know, sometimes we make ourselves the way we are. I can do that to myself. And we can get up in the mornings and decide that I'm just going to be grumpy today or whatever. This is not the time to do that. God commands you. You know, it's just as much a command to be happy at the feast as it is to not work on the Sabbath. We're commanded to do that. Third point about keeping the feast days, and this is not all of them, but these are some of the important ones. Let's go back to Nehemiah, and let's look at what it says in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 5. Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people when he opened it, and all the people stood up. You know, you open the Bible, the scrolls, and everybody stands up in respect. I watch Perry Mason movies with my mom at her house sometimes. She loves Perry Mason. All rise, your honor comes in. Everybody gets up. That's what they did here. When the book of the law was open, the scrolls were open, everybody stood up. Respect for the law. Verse 6, and Ezra blessed the people, the great God. Then all the people answered, amen, amen, while lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. And then it talks about all of the assistants there, and their job was to help the people understand the law, and the people stood in their place, so they read distinctly from the book and the law of God, and they gave the sense and helped them to understand the meaning. So one of the things we need to do at the feast is be sure we study God's word. Now you're going to get, you know, several sermons, several Bible study sermonettes, a couple of Bible studies, maybe someplace you're going to have seminars. You're probably going to get 20 or 30 hours of instruction at least, if not more. And so at the feast, we study God's word. That's one of the highlights of the feast, is to study God's word. Attend all the services. How can you hear the message? You know, how can you be there with Nehemiah and stand up if you stayed out too late the night before and are sick? So attend all of the services. Make it a point to be there. You have crying babies. You have your sore bunions. You have the car that's, you know, giving you trouble. Satan is very, very wise. There's all kinds of reasons you're going to come up with. I'm just so tired. Or whatever it is. You know, you read the example of Jesus Christ. He was there at the beginning. He was there in the middle. He was there at the end of the feast. So be sure you attend all services. You cannot get the message from the sermons. You can later. But not with the same impact, especially if you attend all services. Like I mentioned, you're going to have at least 20 hours of Bible studies, sermons, sermonettes, you know, videos. Another thing is be a good disciple. Listen. Pay attention. Be ready. You know, halfway into the sermonette is not the time for you to be finding your Bible. You should have all that done before church begins. And this last point about knowing God's word and studying it is probably the most important of all the points I've given you. It's important to have a good meal. It's important to enjoy yourself physically. It's important to be joyful. But understanding God's word and hearing it is probably more important than any of all of these. So this is a very good reason for being at the feast, is to learn about God's word. Soon we will be observing the Feast of Tabernacles. Today is a Sabbath. The week from today is going to be our first service for most of us. The holy day will begin the evening before, as Sabbath began last night. Don't forget to look up and see the full moon. But we are going to be there soon, in 1 week. We'll be privileged to be at a beautiful site with plenty of food, joyous activities, and excellent sermons. I mean, what more could you want? We need to remember the instructions that Ezra gave the people more than 2,400 years ago. Although these instructions were given to a different people and a different culture, these are excellent instructions for our time also. These instructions can help you to have a very joyous, happy Feast of Tabernacles.